I am Amy Baker, and I've been on our counseling staff since 1987, I think. So decades that I've been around. So probably many of you have seen me before I've seen you, and it's a delight to get to be with you this morning. Let me just pray as we get started. Oh, our glorious King, we're just so thankful for your kindness and for your rescue. Lord, we come as people who realize that we needed to be rescued, and thank you for providing a way for that. Lord, this morning we're going to talk about people who desire to take their lives, and certainly we would say they need rescue. And thank you that we can turn to the rescuer and say, we need wisdom, we need help, and you will provide it. So this morning, as we talk about just developing a safety plan with those who are considering suicide, would you give us wisdom? And then would you just equip us to be able to minister sweetly, reflecting all of your beauty to those that you might bring into our path to walk alongside them as they struggle in this way. And in the end, Lord, will you be glorified? Because that's exactly what we want to happen, please. Thank you. Amen. All right, so we are going to talk in this session about developing a safety plan. And this is going to be about developing a suicide safety plan. So sometimes when you hear safety plans, you can think abuse or you can think suicide. So some of you are probably thinking, oh, this is going to be about people who are abused, helping them develop a safety plan. In fact, when I started to develop this session, I thought, oh, I'm going to include both of them in this session. And then I got into it, and it's like, there's no way I can include both of them in this session. So this is just about developing a safety plan for those who are wanting to take their lives. Now, this is not a session on assessing suicidal risk. We're not going to talk about risk factors. We're not going to talk about risk potential. We're not going to talk about warning signs. Those things are important. They are very important, but it's not going to be our focus in this session. Nor is it a session where we're going to talk about a long-term plan to counsel somebody who struggles with wanting to take their life. It's important. It's very important. But it's not what we're going to do in this session. So this is just a small piece of the pie that we're going to talk about in this one. And I've got like almost an hour's worth of stuff to tell you about in this small little piece of the pie. This is a session about creating an emergency safety plan for someone who's been identified with urges to make a suicide attempt. It is a very limited but very important part of your counsel initially. Now, metaphorically, it's a tool that you use to keep someone from running into their house when it's on fire. When you use this tool, you're not doing anything about building the person a new house. Not doing a thing about that. You're just trying to address situations where there's immediate danger and head it off. It's not something that you work on with somebody who's in the middle of an attempt. They're already inside the burning house. They need 911 to come and pull them out of it, okay? This is for somebody who's expressed that they're thinking about suicide, and we want to help them develop a safety plan. So as counselors, we would want to create a safety plan when somebody comes to us because they're struggling with suicidal thinking, or when, as we meet them, we learn that they currently struggle with suicidal thinking or they have a history of suicidal behavior. We want to do with a safety plan is help the person recognize when they're getting to a crisis that's going to end in suicide, when that's starting, and then work with them to formulate action steps that they can take when they see those triggers. In a sense, the entire scope of your counseling is going to be to help people come up with a safety plan. I mean, if you're counseling somebody biblically, you're helping them with a safety plan. For somebody that wants to take their life, all of your counsel is helping them with a safety plan. This is just an initial step because it's going to be really hard for you to continue counseling them if they kill themselves. So we want to put them in a good position to head that off so that we get future opportunities. So your safety plan is not your long-term counseling plan. It's a tool you formulate with them, which they can use when they realize they're on a path leading them towards suicide. So let's think about what is a safety plan. Health providers would describe it this way. A safety plan is a prioritized written list of coping strategies and sources of support individuals can use who have been deemed to be at high risk for suicide. Individuals can use these strategies before or during a suicidal crisis. The plan is brief. It's in the person's own words, and it's easy to read and implement. When you're in a crisis, you don't need a 10-page complicated document that you've got to follow. It's going to be brief, it's going to be in your own words, words you understand, and easy to read and put into practice. When you're in a crisis, you're not going to be able to think clearly enough to do something more complicated. Also, safety planning is a collaborative process. You work with the person to help them identify their specific warning signs and things that have been helpful for them in the past. Now, the concept of a safety plan has been spearheaded by psychologists working in secular settings who have been concerned about reducing the risk of suicide. And I'm going to focus on work done by Dr. Barbara Stanley and Dr. Gregory Brown. They're not the only ones who have made a significant investment in doing work to develop prevention strategies, but I think most people would say that Stanley and Brown are certainly leaders in this field. Now, to my knowledge, Dr. Stanley and Dr. Brown are not professing Christians. But in his great kindness, God has given them the ability to apply some biblical principles to their observations and their interventions. So I'm going to review their method of safety planning intervention, explaining how they may be applying some biblical principles, perhaps unconsciously. And then, once we have that understanding, I'm going to discuss how we, as biblical counselors, might develop an emergency plan with somebody that we're working with. So let me go with you through the elements of the Stanley Brown safety plan. The first thing that they do is education and explanation. So as they start to work with someone to create a safety plan, the first thing that they do, education, explanation. So before they start filling in any part of the plan, they show the individuals that they're working with what they call the suicide risk curve. I put a copy of that in your notes. And they explain, so they're just on education right now, they explain that suicide risk varies with time. It doesn't remain constant with anybody. Okay, so you want to kill yourself right now, it's not going to stay that way forever. So in a sense, what I think they're doing is just trying to give people a little bit of hope. It's not going to be like this forever. That's their hope that they've got to give. It's not going to stay like this. So basically, what that chart shows is this. As risk goes up and time goes up, danger increases. As risk goes down and time goes up, danger decreases. That's all that chart is saying. As risk goes up and time goes up, danger increases. If you lower the risk factors and time keep moving along in time, danger decreases. That's all that chart is showing. But what they're trying to do is just explain to people, look, it's not going to, you may be at the height of that curve right now. It doesn't have to stay this way forever. It's not going to stay like this. Look, we can get to the other side of this curve. They're just trying to give hope. All right. Now, why would that give hope? Because you want to do something right now, right? You want to do something right now. You need somebody to slow you down a little bit. It's not going to stay like this. The chart also indicates if you lower risk by neutralizing those factors that send the risk factors up, your danger is going to decrease. So then they're going to talk to you about things that escalate the risk. Because they're telling you, look, if we can get those lower, then look what's going to happen. You're going to get on the other side of this suicide curve. So that's the first thing they do. The second element of the Stanley Brown safety plan process is hearing the person's story and identifying risk factors. So once they've explained the curve, the next thing they want to accomplish is working with the individual to identify warning signs that cause that curve to escalate. Their goal is prevention. They're working on the premise that the factors that cause that curve to escalate are averted or diverted, then the individual will be safe. They want to identify the warning signs or triggers so the person can use their safety plan rather than continuing toward a crisis. And they wisely point out that if a person doesn't know what the warning signs are, they aren't going to pull out their safety plan. If I don't understand what the warning signs are, I'm not going to know that I need to go to someplace safe. So therefore, they want to gather data so that they can work collaboratively with the person struggling with suicidal risk to formulate steps for the person to take safety steps. I think what they're doing here is just helping the person struggling with suicide risk to be prudent. Proverbs 27:12 says, the prudent see danger and take cover. So here they are applying another biblical principle. They don't know they're doing it,